Welcome to segment one of Market Overdrive. Thank you so much for making us a part of your Wednesday morning. Today in the studio, I'm so excited because we get to share some love with Miss Nara Extraordinaire. How are you? Am I supposed to introduce her or you're going to
introduce
her?
Go ahead,
Nick. Introduce her. Oh, look who's back. I'm sorry the show fell apart last week because Nick wasn't in the show last week. So
needing,
I guess we did a horrible job
needing,
at Market Overdrive.
Needing no introduction whatsoever. WGN stands for We Got Nick.
Oh my God, I could puke right now.
All kidding aside.
You're wasting my airtime.
Let me move it on to our guest coming in all the way from the northern western suburbs of the grandiose Remax Institution. Friend of Ilone, a friend of ours. This is your second time on Market Overdrive. Yvonne Paez. Also, if we're going to get into what WGN stands for today, we got NAR rep in the building.
Yeah, thank you.
There you go. So welcome,
I love the intro.
Welcome back. Good to have you again. How you been?
Good. Busy, but very good. Very blessed. Happy to be back. I love the new studio. I love the view.
It's a much better view than what we used to deal with.
Yes.
Yeah, we've upgraded.
I love it.
We cashed in our frequent flyer
Finally.
Miles, and now we got to WGN, you know? So
you got,
you know,
the Groupon going. I love it.
We got the Groupon going. So and with that.
What? I missed that. I was too busy fighting with this guy. Oh, we got an upgrade? Hey, Nick, how are we supposed to do a show when your friend over here doesn't have headsets?
I can hear you.
I mean,
he
wants
clear.
To roll the way he wants to roll. That's the president-elect Graco Funes.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the stage, the president of Honduras.
President Funes. Of Honduras. I
finally
love
got
it.
Introduced
How
her.
Do you say that? President of what country?
President of Honduras.
Honduras.
Okay, moving on.
Honduras. Okay, let's take it back to basics because I know we have friends in the studio and then we just start acting out and we're not getting to what really matters as to why you're listening to us today. So we're going to wash it down, dumb it down a little bit if you want to say real estate 101, how to buy, because I know there's a lot of conflicting ideas. People get overwhelmed and then they want to start Googling. And don't you love it, Nick, when our clients call us and they try to tell us what to do because they saw it and read it somewhere online?
Yeah, normally we would like to tag it with 5 steps on how to buy a home or 4 steps.
We're doing 5 steps.
It seems like we're going to try and do 5 steps, but we're going to kind of roll into 1 step after the other. So it might be 4 steps. It might be 6 steps. I think a good combo amongst professionals is what's important.
It typically takes me 3 steps to get things done, but of course I'm sure it'll take you 5, but we're going to go with the average.
Excuse me.
Just saying, Yvonne. I'm talking about Nick. Mm-hmm. So let's get our guest going and ask her. So Yvonne, what would be the first step into, you know, starting your road to homeownership?
I can say that I'm an expert in this subject because over 80% of my business is first-time buyers, which I love. I love walking them through the steps of how to buy a home, what it takes to get from point A to Z, and also to be stress-free because it can be very stressful on all parties buying and selling. So my suggestion to whoever is thinking about buying is obviously do your research, look at an area expert where you're thinking of buying, someone that knows the schools, the area, you know, where you're going to get your money's worth. And, you know, online is obviously a good platform to do that. And, you know, of course, you know, ask, you know, your friends, relatives. A lot of times we get a lot of word of mouth referral. And I think that's the best way to go about finding someone that would be able to guide you through that process. But first would be to obviously get someone that's an expert in the area that you're looking to buy.
So that sounds like step one. We're gonna soundbite that last part. Find an expert in the area.
Right.
Now, does that expert have to be a realtor or a loan officer? What expert? There's a lot of experts involved in a transaction.
It would be a realtor. It would be someone that is, you know, dominant in that area, someone that knows the ins and outs, someone that's going to walk you through a multiple offer situation and be successful in it, someone that knows that even if you go over the asking price, you're still going to be able to appraise because we don't want to throw crazy numbers just to win a bid. But if that person knows what they're talking about, then they're going to be able to, hey, we'll go over asking, but we're going to be fine. We're going to be able to appraise it. So, you know, reading reviews and seeing, you know, what that person's, I guess, track record is, if they have a lot of transactions, then obviously that means that they're doing it full time. Someone that, you know, has staff, someone that's going to be able to answer. And then, of course, that comes along with taking their expertise on hiring someone or for them to refer you to a loan officer that would be able to take you, obviously, to, you know, to the mortgage, through the mortgage process.
Well, hold on a second. You just scared the living crap out of me.
Why?
You kept talking about finding the best, the powerhouse agent who's like one of the best in that market share. And every time you keep saying the word the best, the most knowledgeable.
Well, I was just talking about myself.
Well,
so.
just hold on. Hold on. Every time you keep saying, you know, find the best and who's the best and, you know, do research and make sure they got the best team. And, you know, dollar signs keep going in, off in my head. It's like, it's going to be expensive to hire this buyer's agent.
It's free. It's free. That's another thing. A lot of buyers don't know that. They'll ask me, you know, I'm very confident in saying that I am a dominant agent in my area, and they'll ask me, how much do I owe you?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know that the seller has put out a commission to be split between the seller and the buyer agent. So no, our services are, of course, free.
So the key is for us to understand, if you're listening and you're looking to buy in 2017, is to understand that the first step to buying in 2017 like a pro is to basically align yourself with an expert that is knowledgeable, that's not doing this part-time, that's going to be able to walk you from, like you said, A through Z, and it's going to have a connection with you, and it's going to educate you through the whole process. That's pretty much the first one. It's aligning yourself with an expert. And you did mention something like, you know, ask someone, a relative, or a referral of someone that's an expert, that you know, always make sure that you understand that this is not a part-time job. We talked about this last week when we're hiring a realtor for selling a property. Same thing for when you're buying something. You can't definitely cannot hire someone that's doing real estate part-time. There's just not enough, you know, time in there for you.
And even for us too, I mean, you sell actively every day. It's very hard to deal with someone that does this part-time. We can never get them over, you know, on the phone. We can never actually execute a contract because we're waiting for, you know, days, you know, a couple days we've lost already because we cannot get them on the phone. We cannot reach them through email or text. So it's good to work with someone that does this every day. They are going to engage and be 100% committed to you.
And you hit it on the head, you know, and if you really want to find an expert, the easiest way to obviously do it is log on to marketoverdrive.com. We have a plethora of experts all over the greater Chicagoland area, and I'm sure we can also pin you with one across the country. You go to our website, you can find information on all of us there. You can go, obviously, to WGN Plus Radio and or podcast nowadays and subscribe to us live there. And all of this, whatever you're seeing today live, will be on YouTube as a video for you to refresh your mind with. Now, the beauty of today's show is that you actually do focus on a Northwest suburb platform for the most part. And Carla over here focuses in the city of Chicago. I mean, I know you guys can obviously sell homes in each other's territories. We'll call them territories, but concentration areas, if you will.
Right.
But at the end of the day, like you said, it is free to find the best possible person. Sometimes the referral is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So you should, with online access nowadays, you should probably go and do some of your own personal research, see who you like. I think you mentioned reviews online and stuff like that. If that's what makes you feel better about picking the person, great. Most of the times, this is a free process to pick a buyer's agent. There is some buyers, though, buyer's agents that do charge a fee, just so you're aware, because I don't want people to leave here or leave watching the show thinking that it's always free.
Right.
Some agents do charge a buyer's.
When?
I know of a few.
Okay, how?
They charge a fee regardless if you buy it once they start the process. You don't have to use that agent, but they just do.
Okay, so I have a problem with that because it's like a transaction agent, right? A marketing fee is set up when you're listing a property, and that marketing fee is to pay you as a realtor for bringing in a buyer. So if you're getting charged by a realtor to help you find a property, find out why and question that, because the only times that a realtor is going to extend that fee to you is if you're buying it for sale by owner and that seller is actually dumping a commission on top of the sales price and increasing your gross or your net sales purchase price. What are you doing? And also, there's a transaction fee if you're buying a REO property, if you're in one of these websites like Hubzu, and Hubzu actually makes you, the buyer, pay for that fee. So you always have to know this upfront if anyone is charging you, specifically if you're a buyer. So
Auction.com.
I will question that, Mr. Mamadi.
Hey, I'm not telling you how to run your business. I'm just telling the consumer that there are some agents that do charge it. Majority of them do not charge a buyer's fee. I'd say you're probably in the 90 percentile that does not charge a buyer fee. So odds are you're going to run into an agent that will help you buy a home, get you at least started, point you in the right directions, and it's completely free. There is a small portion. I know in New York.
And that's why we have Market Overdrive, because we want to elevate your real estate IQ and let you know what you can and cannot do and make sure you watch out for these things.
I know in New York, and those that are listening out there, it is norm.
Right.
Buyer's fees are normal.
Okay, so I'm not aware of that.
We are talking about anyone listening, most of the time, it's free. So.
Well, just to end up the segment, though, the first step to buying real estate in 2017 like a pro is basically to align yourself with an expert. I think that kind of wraps it up, and you did a great job at indicating what are the other things that are needed. And I think the next step would be, you know, getting qualified and getting financial. So that leads us to our next segment.
We're not going to even get into that until we come back from this little break. You're listening to Market Overdrive. We are here today with our guest, Ivan Paez of RE/MAX, and, of course, the ever-so-well-spoken, loudly-spoken, and, you know, hogging up the mic is Graco Funes from ILO.
Can you please
You'll hear
talking.
From me when then, I come back.
And then we will hear from Graco. It'll be your chance to shine when we come back. And Carla, Mina, and myself, follow us on YouTube. Download it on YouTube. It'll probably be available next week. And, of course, this show is always available on podcast. Subscribe to WGN or just look up Market Overdrive on podcast. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Thanks.
Welcome back to segment number two of Market Overdrive. Thank you so much for aligning yourself with us. Who are the experts? We're here with Ivan Paez, who is bringing us the one-on-one on how to buy like a pro in 2017. We've moved on into, to the next step. What would you say is the next step again?
Well,
go ahead. Yes, Ivan.
I didn't know
I'm just going to pretend
me.
You're not here today.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I think she was talking to me, Nick. Sorry.
That's cool.
Take it over, baby girl.
Definitely, my suggestion would be I get a lot of people that are already anxious to start buying, and they ask me what would be the best, what do you suggest I do? And I always tell them, please get pre-qualified, get your financials straightened out, know what you're going to go into. I've had people that, you know, have had bankruptcies in the past, have had properties that have been in foreclosure that are looking into buying, and then they cannot because those things are not cleared out. You know, credit scores dropped or, you know, anything like that. We don't want any surprises when we're looking into putting in an offer. We want to be confident that we're going to get you close in 30 days. So my suggestion highly would be to get, you know, align with a loan expert that would, you know, get us to meet your closing date, because everyone has
very
plans,
important.
To be at a home by a certain time.
For sure, especially in this market, right, when there's not a lot of inventory, you're going to be dealing with a lot of competition. You want to be ready. You want to be, and it's, I feel like we've saying the same things over and over from last year, because it seems we're in spring market now, right?
Right.
So you're seeing the same trends happening where you need to be ready with the pre-approval letter.
Pre-approval.
Yeah, so the pre-approval. So the next step into buying like a pro in 2017, we would have to say, is align yourself with a lender expert that's going to be able to walk you through your financials and let you know not just how much you can afford, big numbers, right? 400, 500,000, but your carrying costs, your monthly carrying costs. Like, what is your monthly budget? And for most of us, if you're working in the realm of first-time buyers, you're comparing that number to rentals, right?
Right.
How does it compare from rent versus buying? What are you seeing there? What's keeping people from the silence? Off the silence.
Where did we just go here? Let's just rewind that a little bit.
Well, I want to know what is the...
Well,
a lot of people have a lot of questions as to why they don't get pre-approved, because they're still concerned about getting approved.
Right, we're going to back it up, though. Let's get to an actual loan officer about what goes through next.
All right, loan officer.
I mean, how about we give the guy that actually does mortgages, and I'm not even talking about myself, I'm talking about the loan officer in the building. It was very clearly stated what step one was. Find the right agent, someone you feel comfortable with. Let's get to step two. Usually a good agent has a team member that's a loan officer.
I have them right here.
Sometimes step one and step two, just so you know, do get flipped around. Some people like to start with the lender, and that lender might have a great agent that they recommend. So there's no wrong way of doing that. Preferably, a good agent usually has a good team around them. But step two, Graco, what do you deal with? What happens next after Yvonne has sent me to you to... at least get screened. What goes on?
Yeah, step two is really important, because at this point, we have to make sure that the pre-approval is strong. And I try to convey to clients and borrowers at times where your offer is coming across the table to the seller side, if you're not a reputable lender, if you're not a reputable institution, a reputable realtor, more than likely your offer is not going to get accepted. So it's very important that you contact a professional, or you contact myself, so that we run this full pre-approval. It's almost a preliminary pre-underwrite of the file, similar to that.
It's not almost, it is.
Yeah, it is, because we want to make sure we catch everything. Ivani touched on something earlier. Some people forgot they did a bankruptcy X amount of years ago. Some people forgot that they were on a title to a property that foreclosed. And if that's the case, we want to catch that ahead of time so that we don't run into any snags when we do go to the underwriting process.
And, you know, back it up a little bit, because you said something about getting a formal pre-approval. Now, in the old days, and if you did buy a house, the last time you bought a house was 10 years ago, you might have heard the term pre-qual or pre-qualification. Today, that standard, Yvonne, I'm assuming, has changed substantially. A pre-qualification is no longer really much of a tool for agents to walk around with.
It's not really a commitment from the buyer. That means that they could be shopping around. A pre-approval is all documents have been presented to their lender and they are ready to go. So when I present an offer with a pre-approval, such as any client that I have with iLoan, I am very confident that the closing date will be met. And we've had a couple of clients that they must close within 30 days, and we've been able to meet that because when we walked in, you know, through the door and put that offer in, we were already pre-approved, only pending, you know, title and anything else.
So, Graco, correct me if I'm wrong, that essentially it sounds like the client has started the process of financing.
Yeah.
Because you're already sending, if I'm sending you, I'm assuming you want my check stubs.
I want everything from A to Z.
My dental records.
The only thing, and I kind of pat myself on the back sometimes, the only thing we need is a contract and a title and an appraisal to close on that file. So I want everything in that file from the start that I do that pre-approval so that we don't have any delays, because delays will happen.
You know what the income is officially. There's no surprises there. You know what the assets, the down payment, or wherever the down payment might be coming from.
Right.
And we'll get into something that I know Carla was itching to talk about. In some cases, during this time with the loan officer, we discover that maybe we're going to use other programs as well. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, we can touch on, or we can decipher what programs a borrower would be able to qualify for, if any special grant programs are available, if they qualify for minimum down payments. So that's why it's crucial for that potential buyer to get pre-approved immediately and know all their options from the start. Because once I run that pre-approval, I know every possible loan program that would be accessible to that individual, any grant programs as well. So.
Right. We're halfway home.
Yeah.
Now we just got to get to, you know, step three, which is eventually something we're going to talk about when we come back. I don't know if we're at break yet or close to break, but I think that, Carla, unless you have something to add on the process of pre-approvals. Have you ever walked out without a real pre-approval? I mean, you're an agent, been doing this for a long time.
No, and I know that earlier when we first started, you mentioned that, you know, some people go out and start the process of shopping for a property by looking at properties right away. I think that's, you know, doing yourself a disservice and wasting time and not being a true key player. If you're looking to buy and are serious about buying real estate and becoming a homeowner in 2017, you have to do it the right way. You can't skip a step because you're just wasting time. And it's truly, you're wasting everybody's time, not just yours, because someone's showing you that property. And then if you submit an offer and you're not ready with the pre-approval, then the other person that really wants the property and is ready is going to have to deal with you and compete with you, and your offer is not even valid. And then now you've already escalated the price because the seller has a fake idea of, you know, demand that doesn't even exist. So there's a lot of things and keys that in this market that you should be very cognizant about, and also just, you know, be professional
but
about the process.
But I will say also, I 100% agree with you, and it also reflects back on the agent. Like, we're not doing our homework. It just happens to me in one of my listings right now that the buyer had co-signed for a loan because she had been pre-approved 90 days ago. And when I called the loan officer, they guaranteed me that everything was okay. When it turns out they were not pre-approved, and now they don't qualify for the house. Now we're already 10 days into the contract. Now we have to put it back on the market. It's just, it's a waste of time for everyone. So and to save yourself the headache and also I get a lot of that remorse, and I get that guilty feeling of, oh, you know, maybe it's just not my time to buy. That anxiety that a buyer should not have will be out of the question when you already
exactly
you do your proper steps to get to, you know, purchasing your home.
It's a lack of education, a lack of guidance when you have the anxiety. It comes from that, seriously. Right. Because if you start with aligning yourself with an expert realtor that's going to walk you through the process, and then, of course, I want to say that as much as I give you guys crap, a lender or getting pre-qualification is the utmost important step in buying a property, because they're going going to tell you what your budget is. They're going to tell you what you qualify for. Right. And then once you're under contract, there's not going to be any, you know, like concerns that you're going to, right? Your approvals are almost guaranteed, correct? I believe.
They're pretty much, unless something comes up.
You're fully underwritten at this point, and all, like you said, all you need is an appraisal and a contract to get it done. So you don't want to miss a step, because obviously once you know what you can afford on a monthly basis and you're in that price point, it should be happy that you're buying something, because now you're going to have a place to celebrate holidays within your own budget.
Right. And I get that sometimes too. Like, I'll send him, you know, clients that are like anxious to buy, and I tell him, where's my pre-approval? Are we ready? And he's like, I haven't gotten this, I haven't gotten that.
I don't know if they really have a job yet.
And, you know, and sometimes I'm like, send me an update. What's going on? And he's like, they're just not responding to me. They're not. And I know that he's not going to put his name on a document that he knows that it's not going to close.
No.
Right. And I actually can respect that, because that way I know how committed the client is to purchasing
a real deal on your hand. Right.
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 Well, so quick recap before we go on break here again. We have step one, find the right agent, someone you're comfortable with. It's typically, most of the time, it's absolutely free to hire a buyer's agent that can help you with this process.
It should always be free.
Step two, it should. I agree with you. believe it or not, I agree with you. It should be, but it's not always.
Wow, is that?
Not every state
recorded.
It is
agreeing
free.
With me on something.
Not every state it is free. The norm is different
I'll
in some
let
areas.
You do you.
And step two, obviously, get your financing lined up, get pre-approved, find the correct lender, or find a lender if your agent can't refer you one or doesn't have one. Then obviously you should do your due diligence there, just like you did for step one.
Right.
Unless,
and
of
obviously
course,
a lender that's always readily available for you, because I hate lenders who are like, I don't work on weekends, but we're working on the weekends.
Yep.
And sometimes we just have this concern because the buyer...
They want to know what their payment's going to be.
Or they're going
to
stretch their budget a little bit.
Wrap this segment up.
Yeah. Well, wait, can I just say, sometimes you want to stretch your budget a little bit and you want to call that lender. And Greco, you're always available.
You do that
all the time. And I know I call you sometimes, it's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, but this is the times that people are like, can I really afford this house? So you want to have a lender that's readily available for you.
All right, let's try and wrap this up one last time.
no interruption.
No, we got step one and step two. And the only time you could actually throw away step two is if, of course, you hit the lottery and you don't need a lender and you know that you can absolutely close because you're going to pay in cash. God bless you. And I'm very envious of you because I would need to take out a mortgage myself nowadays. But coming back, we are going to get to step three out of the five steps. Or we'll be doing four steps. I don't know, multiple steps on how to buy a house. You listen to Market Overdrive. We'll be back in a few minutes. Of course, you can follow us on Facebook Live today or go to our website and you can see all of our past shows. Subscribe to us on YouTube and, of course, subscribe to us with the WGN family going to iTunes. We'll see you in a couple minutes.
Back to segment three of Market Overdrive. We are here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. and we sequester the top agents in the city as well as loan officers, just industry professionals that are going to elevate your real estate IQ. This morning we are wrapping up with five steps to shopping in 2017 like a pro. And our next step is...
shopping, my favorite.
Yay! Every girl's favorite,
the
shopping.
The actual part of shopping.
It's the actual,
it's the actual
I love what I
part.
Do because I'm so nosy. I want to know how you live. I want to know how this house looks. how do I copy this bathroom and make it in my bathroom, in my own home? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I
want to,
what
so
do
cute.
You have?
You like going through people's stuff.
I don't go through people's stuff. I like their ideas.
Their houses, I'm sorry.
I love seeing
and you can tell,
houses.
Like, and it's funny because there's a dynamic there in like personalities, right? You are just more like, I'm your friend, we're gonna go shopping, we're gonna do this.
Oh yeah, that's totally me.
It's completely different. I think, like, you know, me, I'm more of like a mommy, so I'm going to, like, you know, just hover through the whole process and be like, no, we're not gonna buy this, look at that stain, look at that size of this room for resale, doesn't make sense.
So I'm
looking
at,
you know, more like an investment, like, get to the point. But I love the fact that you're like, I want to see how pretty it is and how great.
So let's just recap it real quick so we can make sure we're all on the same page for those that are tuning in now. I know we had some issues with our connection here on Facebook Live. Step one was covered, obviously find the right agent. Step two, figure out if you're actually pre-approved before you go shopping. And we are currently at step three. It's time to actually have the fun part, or some people might consider the miserable part, depending on what's available and what's not available. And it's actually doing the shopping, picking a home out.
Yes.
I'm going to ask a question like somebody probably, and that's a first-time home buyer. I want to live in a certain city for whatever reason, school district. I mean, where do I even start? I know I'm qualified up to, let's say, $250,000. How do you start to decide, or I can't possibly give you every house in Lake in the Hills. Let's say there's 100 of them for sale to go see. It's just not going to happen. How do you help somebody funnel it down to 3 or 4, whatever the case is?
I usually like to, it's great when you go out and you just look at 1 or 2. I've had clients that I look at 78.
John, 78 houses?
John, yes.
He looked at 78 houses?
Yes.
I would have fired myself as a client. I'll tell you right now.
I love her, though.
There is no way you're going to look at 78 houses.
Love shopping.
Oh, I love shopping. I love her.
I don't mind it.
I haven't seen 78 houses in 22 years of being in the real estate industry. Holy cow.
I have had, I've had people that I've, you know, weekends just back to back 40, 50 we've seen. But that's someone that's in a time crunch, someone that just wants to see, they don't really know the area. If you know what you want, I will, you know, start by asking, because if we have 100, we need to narrow it down.
What does that mean, if I know what I want? I want to live in a certain city, that's all I know.
Well, you know, what kind of house do you want? Do you want an open layout? How many bedrooms do you want? Do you want a basement? Do you want, you must need or have 2 bathrooms? Do you have to have a 2-car garage? Do you want a detached garage?
I need to have a basement. I like to do my things in the basement.
Okay.
Okay, so make sure that's.
And it has to be finished, right? And do you want a walkout basement? I'll do you want an English basement? What kind of basement do you want?
Okay, so I got you. You scared me. I know. Now I know what I want. So that's how you funnel it down.
I want to know to detail what you want so that I can go out and find it for you. A lot of people are just browsing and they'll send me, oh, look at this property that I found. And then I'll go back and tell them, but that's not what you originally had told me that you wanted.
Doesn't
have
a basement.
Now I'm looking into maybe, a 2-story home versus a ranch, I need to know exactly what it is that the client wants, and it's going to meet their needs. Because let's think really realistically, you're going to live how many years in a house? You know, if you're a first time buyer, most likely you're probably going to be there 5 years or so until you're ready to upgrade and, to the next step. So I prefer to always, even if it's a first time buyer, to always try to take them to a 3-bedroom versus a 2-bedroom, because I always come across people that are there for 2 years and now they're just cramped up with stuff. They have no basement, no storage, and now we have to move, we have to go.
Right.
And, also ultimately, how long do you want to be in a property? What's like the goal for you and your family?
Right. And that's a strategy with buying, right? You want to make sure that you have a conversation with your realtor and you let them know exactly what you want. Recently had a client who was looking for a single family in the city, and they were buying a home, and they had 2 kids, combined households. They just got married and they each had a child. And so they were looking at properties, and they were looking at like all these properties. And I said, why are you wasting your time looking at properties? You're a parent. You're going to want to have all the bedrooms on one level, because what parent's going to want to have their child on the second floor,
right?
So these are things that you have to remember when you're shopping, because it could get overwhelming. And after we saw the ones that she had picked, I said, okay, based on what you've seen and what I've noticed that you gravitated to, we're going to go see 2 more that weren't in your schedule. And out of the 2, they bought 1. Because once you get a sense of what they want, you're wasting your time. You're either browsing or you're shopping, right? There's not that many different floor plans and layouts once you're starting to shop. Once you understand the style of home that you gravitate to, that's the one that you want. And then at that point, it's moving to the next step, which is pricing and negotiations, right?
Right.
Going back and touching base with your lender to make sure that they do qualify for that specific property, because there's differences between budgets when it comes to taxes, right?
Right.
One home may be bigger and it'd be a bigger price, but the taxes are lower.
Well,
so
while we're on step 3 still, let me ask you a question.
What are you talking about? That is part of step 3.
I know.
Okay.
You
to negotiate.
You started talking about going to the next step, which is probably 4, but anyways, what happens if I can't find the house? I mean, how long? What am I expecting here? Am I in for like a long haul? What's the norm?
I normally ask you as my client, now that we are actively looking, what ultimately is your goal? Where do you need to be? When do you need to be by a home? Like time frame wise? Because a lot of times people are looking now that they have a lease until the end of June or something like that.
Or school districts to worry about.
Right, in the school. So then, it's February. So anything that goes under contract now may be closing end of March next month. So, maybe we do have some time, some wiggle room to look a little bit more. But if we're in a time crunch, then that's when we really have to hit the road running and just, see whatever's available. But, again, it all depends on you and what you want to do. When do you want to be by this property?
And I know it's unfair to ask you a question without having statistics in front of you, but off the top of your head, what do you think seems to be the normal first-time home buyer timeline before they truly find the house, just as a smell test. What does it feel like? 3 months, 2 months, 6 months,
two
7 weeks.
Months?
Oh, Lord. Okay, well, with 2 weeks, call Yvonne. You'll be in a house in 2 weeks.
She's good.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think there's nothing to do with how long it's going to take you, right? You have to get a pulse on the client.
Yeah.
And if the client has a lease that expires in 2 months, then you know you have to be more actively searching.
I've had clients with him that they tell me, okay, we're ready. We start shopping. We look. And they already have an idea of what they want. They're very assertive of what they need. And I'll, you know, maybe if I'll get it on a Wednesday, by the weekend, I have them under contract.
Right. And one of the key things that you said, Yvonne, and this is the reason why I keep saying don't work with a part-time agent. And I'm not trying to bash anyone. I mean,
no,
kudos to you
not.
If you're able to work overtime. But people are shopping from what after their jobs, right? So after 5 o'clock to whenever, that's when they're shopping.
Right.
So if someone has a full-time job, they're not going to be able to facilitate all the research that's involved. Just because we show up to show you a property doesn't mean that there hasn't been any research that's been done on that property prior to. But one of the things that you said is that you've actually stayed with that client and worked with them and showed them like 48 to 75 properties. That means that you're committed to what you're doing.
I'm committed.
And
to
you're not
them,
there
yes.
to the to move on to the next client. You want to make sure that each client gets the best customer service available so that they can return as a client in the future. And that's why you're so successful. So kudos to you. And that's kind of the real estate that we promote here. We want to elevate that bar to make sure that when you are shopping and hiring a realtor, you look for these, you have these requirements in mind. It's not too much to ask for someone to have patience.
All that I ask out of someone is for them to be serious. And obviously, if they're going to be, I'm going to commit to you 100%. I want you to be committed to me as well. I've been very lucky and very blessed. I always pray to God that all the clients that I do come across are good and they're going to be, a continuing friendship built or a continuing client, you know, for years to come. But everyone that I have worked with, I really like the fact that we built a relationship and I know that they can count on me for even after they close. And that's what we want. We want to build those relationships. And again, I dislike a lot of agents that I do come across and they treat the, you know, a buyer as just another number.
A transaction,
and it's
correct.
Not. And it's not. We are here to build relationships. We're here to put families in homes. And when you love what you do, it just, you know, it just shows.
Again, yeah, the timeline is more about, you know, staying in touch with that budget, understanding what your wants are. If you're shopping for family, then boundaries do matter. And align yourself with an expert that understands the school boundaries so they can get you the best deal out there. And more importantly, you know, give your clients the customer service that you expect for yourself. I think that's what creates long-term business.
I'm going to wrap this bad boy up so we can get to our next segment. And I know I have to take a break for a second. So
TMI,
right?
I mean, this is not the.
Let's just recap
it
real quick.
How you feel
number
today, Nick.
Number one, find the right agent. Number two, get pre-approved. Number three, start the shopping process.
Yes,
it could be easy, could be difficult, depending on what inventory is available. It sounds like
right, or if we're getting outbid left and right,
right,
you know, it may
bid.
Take longer than
it might take. Well, there you go.
Yeah,
and we will get back in a minute to number four in the home buying process: the five things you should look out for, and how to get started as a newbie in home ownership. You're listening to Market Overdrive. We'll be back in a couple minutes. You can, of course, download this or watch this on our YouTube channel at Market Overdrive or Facebook Live / Market Overdrive. And last but not least, this is now a podcast with WGN, which we all know stands for We Good Now or World Greatest News. And we got Nick.
And we got Nick.
We'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks.
Yes. Welcome back to another segment. Our last segment of Market Overdrive. This is, what is it, cloudy, rainy? Is it raining outside?
Oh, it's wet.
It's
cloudy.
It's a cloudy Wednesday morning. I've lost it. I can't believe we started
and
that.
And step four, right?
Step four. Okay. We went through step one, two, three, and here we are. We're going to do four and five in one segment because we're wrapping up 50 minutes here. That's how we roll. So
step four.
Step one was...
Finding
the right agent.
Finding
a pro that'll help you out, at least get started.
Right.
It kind of...
Call Carla or Ivani.
Step two, call Carla
Ivani
or
Yvonne.
Ivani.
I like how
Ivani.
You change everybody's name.
Step two.
Ivani.
Ivani.
Step two, getting pre-approved. Step three.
Calling Greco.
Calling
yes.
Greco, sure. So step three is finding or going home shopping, actually doing the shopping, what's supposed to be the
strategic
fun part.
Strategic shopping.
The exciting part. And now we move on to step four.
Writing
and
the contract.
Who wants to do that? All right, you can. Well, there it goes. Step four is out there, writing the contract up. I think it's a little bit more in depth.
It's not than just writing a contract, right? It's negotiating the terms that best benefit your budget. At the end of the day, it's about how much is it going to cost me to carry this property? I want to be a homeowner. I want to celebrate the holidays in this home, and I want it now. And if it's a two flat, then you know how the dynamics are different. But more importantly, how does it fit my budget? And if so, you have to hire somebody that knows how to negotiate on your behalf. That's not going to give it all away just because they want to get a transaction. And this goes back to the, you know, hiring a part-time realtor versus someone who, you know, wants the best, it has the best interest of the client in mind.
Right.
Don't you agree? I mean, when you're negotiating, are you just going to say, let's outbid everybody by paying more?
No.
So if your realtor actually has a side gig delivering at Domino's, you should probably reconsider it. Is that what you're telling me? Because I've seen it.
Hey.
I've seen it.
That's so
Or Uber, right?
If your realtor pulls up with an Uber sticker on their car, you might be concerned about their skills in negotiating.
Back to the Uber sticker
but this is what you're saying.
Happened.
Somebody full time. I don't want to be mean here.
It's not
but
that. It's
this
not
is
that.
Your life, your money on the line.
It's a big asset.
That's what I'm saying.
And you know what? At the end of the day, when we're doing this full time, we have more on the line, right? We have to keep the doors open. We have to keep the lights on, so we have a vested interest in making sure that you're successful, because at the end of the day,
and we have staff, you know, to pay. And
well,
you know,
not even about the bottom line, right? Because we're all business owners, we're all entrepreneurs, but at the end of the day, it's like we want to make sure that you return. We want to have a life, like I said before, right? Give the clients the customer service that you expect for yourself. That means that you have to make sure that when they resell this product, that they're calling you. If they're going to rehab something, that they're calling you to check in. They're going to say, hey, Carla, should I do this type? Should I reduce this bedroom and turn it into a closet? And then, of course, I'm going to say, no, you know, you're going to reduce value in it. So you want to create a long-term relationship. So when you're negotiating, this is when you know if your realtor has your best interest in mind or theirs.
And they're prepared to actually handle the situation. And look, I'm not here to stomp and belittle and be rough on the rookies.
Really?
We were all rookies at one point, right?
Right.
And some of them do have to have a separate job to handle
I'm not saying
learning.
Rookies. I'm just saying people who don't
people
do it part-time. I love rookies.
Usually those are rookies, but okay, part-timers, whatever you want to call them. But at the end of the day, we all worked our way up the food chain to become full-time at some point in our careers. And I think that as you as a homeowner, if you're looking to make a decision on who's going to do this for you, you might just want to be aware of their level of skill. Because the more skilled the agent is in negotiating on your behalf, or let's say there's not a whole lot of room for negotiation because it's that one property in that one area and it's going to sell at full price, the skill sometimes will actually make you the winning bidder. Even though everybody offered the same exact dollar amount. So skill is very important.
And having tactics and having things that you know will work.
Secrets of the trade. Don't give it all away, Yvonne.
But that's all part of
why you picked me.
Don't do it. That's another show, girl. You can't give away all our shows in one show because then we won't have a show.
No, but it's true. You want to make sure that you have secrets because that's what makes you an expert negotiator.
Right.
I mean, give me one. What would that be?
Don't give her one.
Okay, fine. I'm not going to give
She's just trying to learn something.
So
from me.
If you're in a multiple offer situation, then just call me. Then I will make sure that you get that property.
I love it.
So it just happened over the weekend, you know, really hot property. And my client actually lives across the street. Mom and dad live across the street. Boyfriend, girlfriend wanted to buy the house across the street. And, I mean, there was 10 cards when we went to see the property at 8 o'clock
Isn't
on Saturday
insane?
Night. Yeah, 8 o'clock at night. I was there on Saturday. We went back Sunday for a second showing, and we went under contract yesterday. So, you know, you have to know how to negotiate or how to dominate when there are multiple offers, and also that will come with expertise and then also knowing the area and what you can, you know, do for your client as well.
And there we have it. We got one done. You picked the right expert. We got two done. You got pre-approved. Three, you went shopping. Four, you're in that negotiation process, and you hopefully won. That's the fourth hardest, I'd say probably the most nerve-wracking part is knowing you're going to get the deal at the price you wanted.
Right.
And last but not least, we got to go to number five. I'm kind of curious myself at what everyone thinks about number five. I have my opinion. I'm going to take, obviously, our guest's opinion and listen to Carla's opinion. And quite frankly, Grocco, it doesn't matter what your opinion is. Because your opinion is glued to my opinion, and we're both right no matter what, right?
Yes.
All right, cool.
All right,
so,
we have
the same opinion. Number five, what is the wrap-up? What is, you know, you won the bid. Everyone's happy. What happens next?
Being hands-on throughout the transaction. That's number five as an agent. Our work, it's not done once we are under contract. Now we are going to hand it off to someone. No. I'm nosy. I want to know everything. I'm very controlled when it comes to my clients. So I want to know exactly how the home is. I'm always there for my home inspections. I want to know how we negotiated any type of repair or any credits. I want to make sure that I am involved in that, because a lot of times the attorneys, everything gets lost in translation, and a lot of people they get offensive. Oh, you know, oh, you're nitpicking at my home, and that's not the case. So this is why the agents also have to work together to keep the transaction going forward. I want to know when the appraisal was there. I want to know how it came in. I want to know if I can help with anything. And when title was served, you know, to my lender. So being hands-on and making sure that that property is going to close. Why are you laughing at me?
Because all of a sudden you hit overdrive. And look at it's called Market Overdrive. You hit overdrive when we got to number five.
Because
like,
I
everything
go.
You have to do.
I want to know. And a lot of things are
awesome.
That there's other people involved. There's attorneys involved. There's the lenders involved.
But you control the transaction.
Make sure that it gets done. Because if not, then unfortunately, a lot of people just slack. Not my team. You know, I'm very glad that I have a great set of people that if I recommend to you, I make sure that everyone's going to do their part. There's a lot of attorneys that you're following up. Did you send mortgage contingency? Like, no one has time for that. I don't have time to do that.
She went from pleasant.
Yeah.
Let me just say what I'm going to say. She went from pleasant and working with you to becoming a pit bull. On
you
segment number five. So we have just sloganed Pay as the Pit Bull.
She went from five to 100 more.
Shark. Wow.
But you know what?
In closing.
This is the important part. Hold on, guys, because this is the important part. Us as the lender, we keep you guys, the agents, in the loop with every step.
Right.
I think Yvonne gave us what she's doing in the step five process. I think I was trying to really get to more like what does a client need to do during the step five process, but we got that. You're taking care of everything from there on. We got that.
I hold their hand through all of that.
So
because
if I'm the client, though, what do I got to do other than knowing that Yvonne is probably annihilating everyone in the industry to get my property done?
Trust the fact that I have your best interest at hand. That's my priority, is for you to have the best when you're buying this home, and obviously for your best interest to be always met. And if that quality of service is not there, I have no problem moving on to the next person, regardless of who it is. So because that's just who I am, and that's the kind of caliber of service that I want to provide to my client. My suggestion would be, as far as like what would be as a buyer for you, be very hands-on, you know, when the home inspection comes through. Know exactly, you know, as a first-time buyer, a lot of people are scared, you know, of, oh, we found mold in the attic, or, you know, there's a crack in the foundation. What can I do?
Window leaks, blah, blah, blah.
Right, exactly. You know, if you're buying a property as is, then you have to understand that your agent has to tell you, okay, this is what you're walking into. Understand that, you know, it's going to take money out of your pocket for you to put this home up to a living standard and for it to be good. So, I mean, be very hands-on. And I'm texting with my clients that are under contract, like, almost every day. And keeping them engaged if you know, and obviously working with the lender, providing their paperwork on time, and you know, just kind of staying hands on throughout the process.
Cool. Right. Well, let me give you 30 seconds to give me that your version of it as well, because you're the other.
Like,
what would you say a client should be doing in step five?
Did I turn into the Hulk?
You should be facilitating documents.
Pay as the pit bull. I got a new name for you.
You should be facilitating documents for your lender to make sure that the file is moving forward, right? Because we hate that, you know, the lender's asking you for updated documents or more documents that you're sitting on the sidelines and you're not submitting those documents. I want to say that, again, number one is aligning yourself with an expert. Number two is working with a lender that's going to make sure that you do qualify for the property. And then number three, make sure that you're there for that inspection, right? Number three is very important, because then if something is wrong and there's leaking in that basement, you're going to call me and say, Carla, you sold me the worst property, because it's such a nightmare. So make sure that the inspection is done correctly. Make yourself available, but just be flexible. Enjoy the process and just align yourself with an expert so it doesn't feel like it's overwhelming.
So it should be stress-free.
Correct. For me, that's number three is, again, facilitate documents to your lender. And five, make sure that you understand What, number five is?
No, she just rewrote it. She just rewrote the show.
No, I didn't. Number one, Alliance of the
She's going from
can you recap number? Can you recap?
Number five is submit documents to your lender. Wow. What is wrong with that?
Number three. That was number three.
That was number five.
One thing I am going to touch on, do not open new credit. While you're in this phase, buyers, do not go out, start shopping for furniture.
Yeah, this time
no car loans.
The end of this started to turn a little bit of a salad. Let's just recap
it. It's just so much information to wrap up in one segment, right? Yeah. Because at the end of the day, we do so much. And that just shows you that if you're, you have
prepared.
To work with professionals and know what they're doing.
Be prepared that step five is going to be a whole lot of movement from a whole lot of people. The team that the realtor that you signed up with in step one, you're going to start to really meet, like she said earlier, Yvonne, related to home inspectors, part of her team, a lender's part of her team, an attorney that she probably works with that is very good as part of her team. So now all these people start to come into step five, believe it or not, because up until then it was really the agent, the loan officer, and shopping, which was obviously step one, step two, and three, and four, as we said earlier, was the negotiation process, which is back to the agent as well. Step five encumbers an insurance agent, your attorney, attorney review, the process of working through the loan. It's a whole bunch of things. But I think if I can personally stamp number five is be ready to deliver information and read information. This is when it's going to accelerate. And this is where everything escalates. Step five is kind of the home run. It's the bow on top of the whole process. And you're going to be moving from your agent, conversations with your agent, to your loan officer, to your attorney, to the inspector, questions you have on the inspection report, the whole nine yards. So step five is kind of the wrap-up.
So five is like 100.
They all overlap. Let's face it. The truth is they all do overlap. And in Carla's defense, when she was kind of overlapping, the process overlaps.
It does.
It does. Yeah. It's really hard to say it's one, it's two, it's three, it's four.
Don't make fun of me and then defend me.
Well,
I could do that myself.
We went from a three and five, according to you.
I went from a summary. You know what? It's always going to be your idea. You're always like the one who has
it. You want to wrap this one up?
No.
You can wrap this one up.
I quit.
So you got your five steps. We want to thank our guest today, Yvonne Paez.
Yay.
From
I didn't get
Remix,
to do my thing.
From yes, Remix.
I already did.
I
chopped it.
Pitbull Paez
we'll
did her thing.
You
turned
shark. Shark. It's Shark.
Paez
is our shark.
Yeah,
I got
like...
scared. Sharky
Why did
Paez?
I ever tell him the story?
There's a story behind that.
There's a story.
We're...
Started with Papa Paya Shark.
So those are your five steps. We're going to try and wrap this up. You've been listening to Market Overdrive.
Can I just say something?
Yes,
sorry.
Of course.
Just enjoy it. Enjoy it. It shouldn't be stressful. I just have to say that. A lot of people just stress out. They gain weight. They can't sleep. It shouldn't be like that. Enjoy it.
Enjoy.
Gain weight.
Enjoy, my friends.
I love it.
That's it. Five steps. How to do it. Obviously, there could be a six, seven, and eight step, but we tried to cover five within a 45-minute window. Thank you again to our guest, Yvonne Paez from Remax, and of course, part of the NAREP crew. I know you got a big event to go to from here.
We're running late.
Grago Funes of Ilone, Carla Mina of Coldwell Banker, and some other group of troublemakers out there.
Are you serious right now?
I'm just kidding. My name is Nick Mometi. You've been listening to Market Overdrive. You can download us again on podcasts. Subscribe to us on WGN and our podcast channel at Market Overdrive, or of course go to YouTube and follow any of the previous shows as well as this one. We'll see you again a week from today. Thanks.